Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anna Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
Tanner, do you notice anything different about the room that I'm in?
Your camera is pointed slightly more to audience left, stage right.
Okay. That's not it.
I'm getting a little bit more of the door to the garage, and I'm getting a little less of the door to the patio.
What, if you were an observant person, you would notice that the quality of the light in here is different from what it normally is?
Here's what I'm noticing, actually.
Okay.
The quality of the light may be different. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
You have some kind of gauzy haze over your laptop camera, which I suspect is from you or potentially Cyril touching it with your fingerprint.
How's that?
That made it worse.
Cleaned it off with my fingerprint.
I would maybe use a little spit and maybe like a piece of cloth if you can get one.
Okay, great. This is
so the light. The lighting is not... I appreciate that there is better lighting, but it's not coming through... He's left. It's not coming through as boldly as I think you were hoping it would.
Okay. Well, as now you've got me on this side mission because I want you to be able to see me. How's that?
Well, now dry it off.
Better?
With the dry side. Yes. Now you're looking crystal clear.
Okay. So the reason the light is different, Tanner, is because the light is different. Because the
Clarion Jack is what I'm going to call you this episode.
Fucking ceiling fell in.
Oh, okay.
2 days ago.
The
whole
collapsed?
Ceiling fell in.
Did a tree fall on it?
No, I think probably 20 years ago, someone had done a really, really shoddy job of installing a very heavy ceiling fan. And they were like, we could just nail it to the drywall.
Okay.
And it just pulled the whole ceiling down. So anyway, that's what my week has been. And Cyril was standing in the kitchen when it happened, and he just looked in and saw the whole, like, the catastrophe, Sarah and me freaking out, and he just turns to us and he goes, I'm so upset! And then just, like, went off and, like, picked up a truck and, like, walked into the other room and started playing with it. It's like, yeah, me too.
Yeah. So what have you done then?
I fixed it.
You?
Well, I spent some number of hours cleaning up the unbelievable mess. I'll send you a picture. It's fucking wild. And then I found a man who does drywall and had him fix it and supervised him.
Is your rig okay?
Yeah, that was the first thing. I was like, my podcast. And then the guy, when he was fixing the ceiling, he was like, this is honestly like the most ashamed I've ever been in my life. He was like, this just like, dude who's good with his hands and knows how to fucking put a goddamn drywall in the ceiling, you know, and like reinstall a fucking light in there.
Yeah.
And he had not been that impressed with me from the beginning. But then there was this moment where I was just like showing him the mess. And he got suddenly like his expression changed because he saw my rig, like my fucking like expensive mic and all that shit. And he was like, oh, are you a singer? I was like, I have a podcast.
I record a podcast about Babysitter's Club books.
He gets to see like the disappointment in his face. He's like, okay, I'll call you if I need anything.
That's you could have said you
said
were
I was a
and
singer.
You would not have been lying because
yeah,
you do sing.
I do sing. Oh, I should have said it. Anyway, that's my life.
Wow, what a nightmare. I live in a tiny two-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn with
and you're not allowed
two
out.
Other people and not allowed to go outside for any reason.
Yeah, that sucks too.
And it's a nightmare, and I am going insane.
Yep. Hi.
Hi.
And welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Club.
A podcast in which...
I thought we did it together.
Didn't we?
No, you didn't say the second one, did you?
No, you're right. I guess what I was saying, I got so excited about it.
I gotta say, though.
Yeah, I liked it.
I didn't hate it.
But in my mind, since I wasn't waiting for you, I was saying basically what Christy would say.
It felt very Morning Zoo, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like, that's cool. Like, and I'm just moving on.
Yeah.
That's cool. Hi. Welcome to the Babysitter's Club. I'm Jack Shepherd.
And I'm Monkey Fart.
Okay, that sucks. No, and that sucks. And this is my co-host, Monkey Fart, Tanner Greenring, and every week we discuss a new novel in the great Sitter's Cycle by, am I saying Anne Francisco? Can we just drop it? I wrote it down. You told me to write it down. It just doesn't feel topical. It feels like the moment has passed.
Okay.
Can we drop it, or do you want me to say it? It's up to you. It's up to you. This is a collaborative venture. It's a joint experiment. We're in this together, ride or die.
I don't think I would hate for you to say it.
Okay.
Because I might have one. I might have a new one prepped for this week too.
Okay. I'll say it. I'll put it into the patter. So I'm gonna go now. Can I go? Because I was all reared up and I got to wind up again. Can I go, Tanner? Can I go? Okay. Bye. And Francisco, the hand that shakes. That's right, I'm talking about the princess of the Prince of Town, St. Annabelle Matthews Martin, Stormborn, Soulskinner, Mother of Clocks, and Bane to Bats. She is the first of her name, the last of her kind, and the last hope for humankind. And this week we are going to be discussing...
She is...
Yep.
Our ex-boyfriend from New York City, Ethan M. Martin.
Great. I definitely hated it. And this week we're going to be discussing a novel that she wrote, which is called Babysitter's Club Friends Forever, number 2, Stacy versus Claudia. They have a big fight. Don't they? And I should say, before we get too far into this, that I'm a waniac for this book. Because Susan Wayne has definitely got me shook.
I was just very quickly trying to come up with something, but I'm just going to go with Wania as well.
You're Suzanne Man.
Oh, and I'm a Suzanne Man. Yes. Jack, you know me, right?
Yeah.
You know I'm a Suzanne Man, right?
You're a Suzanne Man.
I know that you're a Waniac, and you know that I'm a Suzanne Man. And it's been so long since we have tread these...
boards.
Country paths together.
Yep. Suzanne Mann, thank you, ma'am.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Slam bam Suzanne Mann.
It's been a while, and it felt so good to be in the welcoming arms of Suzanne Wayne. Capable. And I mean that as a compliment, not as damning with faint praise. My God, this was a capable book. It was capable
of
anything.
How about this, Jack? Can I read you a quick note?
Oh, yes.
I'll save the actual note that I took here for a later segment.
Okay.
But here's what I had to say.
Yeah.
This is a great burn. If this kind of wit was more infused throughout the book, I might think this was a Pete book.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the highest compliment you can give.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
Suzanne.
I wrote that about a burn in this book that we will discuss later.
Wow. That's a tease. That's what we call a tease in the business. That's to keep you sticking around. We've got a lot to talk about this week. You said you have a lot of notes. I have a ton of notes. I think we should dive right in and describe the novel so we can get to those notes.
I would love to do that.
But first, I want to tell everybody a little bit about why we're doing the show. So when I was a young man, 8 years old, When I was a young man, I moved into the city, Columbia, Maryland, specifically.
Yep.
To what? Lead the Black Parade?
Yep.
And my best friend was my cousin.
Yes.
Pip. And she was a huge fan of the Babysitter's Club series of books, and she had them all in her room. And so I read a bunch of them, and that was kind of how I became interested in the series. And then now I'm redoing it. And you, Tanner, it's kind of a hilarious mishap and misunderstanding. You misunderstood and thought that babysitting was actually babies It-ing, and it was a club where adults read Stephen King's horror novel It to young children to frighten them. And that was why you were interested in doing this project and probably wouldn't have taken it on otherwise. Can you speak to that? Can you speak on that for me, please?
You got it a little wrong in kind of a comedy of errors.
Yep. Yep. Myself.
Yourself. Yeah. I thought it was a club where babies were fed to It, the clown from Stephen King's
Okay.
It.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
And he kind of fed off their terror and
Pennywise.
Ate them. Yeah. Pennywise. Mm-hmm. Imagine my surprise when I learned that It isn't real.
Oh, okay.
Pennywise. It's just a work of fiction.
Yep.
And that no such club exists.
Yeah. Awful. But then you were locked in. And that's why we're doing the show.
I had already printed the shirts.
Yeah.
I had already rented the convention space. So it's like,
yeah.
What was I supposed to do?
Yeah. And our merch with Pennywise the Clown eating
a baby,
Margot Pike, and kind of pulling her into the sewer. Are half price now, so you should definitely pick those up at bit.ly/BSDC merch.
Yeah.
Because who would want to buy them?
The quantities are extremely limited. They were dubious. DFTBA were like, are you sure about this? And I was like, yes, trust me.
Yeah, trust me.
And they're like, we're going to do like
50. It's a hugely popular series, the Babies Itters Club.
Yeah,
But that's why we're doing it, and that's why we're here, and that's why we've been here. But what we love to do is to do, and now we're reading the Friends Forever series, and what we love to do is describe them, don't we? Twice.
Here are some series we've read so far. Babysitter's Club.
Yep.
Main canon. Super Specials.
Mm-hmm. Should have read it contemporaneously with the main canon, but we fucked that up, didn't we? Mysteries.
Portrait Collection. Reader's Request series.
Same part. Oh, yep. No Reader's Request.
We California did read them Diaries. With the
portrait
collection, but they are a different thing. California Diaries.
Friends Forever, super special.
And Little Sister Books on the Patreon.
Little Sister Books, and now Friends Forever. Don't say we
now
don't
we're
do
on the
everything.
Friends Forever.
Yeah. And this week, we read Friends Forever number 2, Stacey versus Claudia. I would love to describe it for you while you mute yourself and then have you describe
I would love
it for
that
me.
Too. Oh, yes.
Okay. Great. Do you want
to
mute yourself, and then I'm going to describe this novel? Are you muted?
I am muted.
Yes, sir. Great. Excellent. And don't talk this time while
you
you're muted. I can't hear you.
Well, you can't hear me anyway, so what does it matter?
Great. I'm going to begin now.
Okay.
Stacey McGill is a good person.
Wrong. False.
She's devoted to her talented best friend, Claudia. She dotes
False.
On her handsome boyfriend, Ethan. And she
False.
Likes nothing more than looking after kids with her babysitting club when she's got
they
some
never
time
even
to
do
spare
that anymore.
For schoolwork.
False.
Stacey McGill is a good person. And like
Wrong.
All good people, she feels absolutely terrible when she is forced to betray her best friend, cheat on her boyfriend, and destroy her babysitting club with one unbelievably selfish but utterly unavoidable decision. And as Stacey McGill turns around to survey the smoldering wreckage of the lives she has willfully destroyed and the innocent hopes she has malevolently shattered, she has no choice but to wonder,
I see.
Why do such bad things happen to such good people? Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever, number 2, Stacey versus Claudia.
Great.
Oh, perfect read.
Perfect read.
Yeah.
And uninterrupted by any hecklers.
Good. That's good to hear.
In the peanut gallery. Yeah.
Stacey sucks in this one, doesn't she?
Stacey sucks in everyone.
Yeah.
And that is where you've been blind all along. And I have been the shepherd.
Yeah.
And you have been the sheep. And now you are the sheep and I am the shepherd.
Wow.
Because I've been leading you down this path the entire time. Yes, Stacey's always been bad.
And so bad this time.
She does a lot of bad girl stuff.
And she gets egged on by this other Stacey. This alternate Stacey.
Yeah. She's like the Stacey equivalent of Jack Shepherd. Like she comes from London.
I see what you're saying, but and is always talking about it. But I call her Snake Chole.
Snake Chul. That's not great.
You don't like it? Her name is Rachel Griffin. And she's a snake.
She is a snake. I would love to figure out a better pun.
Okay.
And now you've put my mind to work on that, and I'm going to be unable to engage you until I come up with a better snake.
That's always
pun
great.
For Rachel Griffin.
Oh, so it's got to be snaky as well, huh?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I can't help you.
How about two facial?
Nope, that, yours is worse as usual.
Because it sounds like facial.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll get it. We'll
okay,
get
well,
it in post.
I'm just telling you that I call her Snake Chul.
Yeah, the snake.
Snake Chul, the snake griffin. And she's just like Stacy. Like, Stacy's like, they have this like fucking epic fight. Probably one of the worst fights I can think of in the history of the Babysitter's Club. But, yeah. Well, I don't know if I should say this because it's probably your burn.
Well, I've got a few burns. I got a few burns. If
so
you wanna...
I was thinking that you would be fairly pleased by Claudia takes down Stacy in a way that you, even you, would never be able to. It's the ultimate takedown of Stacy. May I read it?
Yes, please.
"You are such a jealous liar," I shouted. "Jealous of you? That's a laugh. You know you're jealous. You can't accept the fact that Jeremy doesn't want to go out with you. Well, deal with it, Claudia. Get it through your brainless head." Brainless? You heard me. What else would you call someone who can't even spell, who has held back a grade? I call it better than being some stuck-up creep who acts like she's better than anyone else just because she comes from New York City. I do not, I cried. Face it, Stacy. 10 million other people live in the city. It's not exactly a claim to fame. Get over yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was a good burn. It is one I captured. There's a number of great burns at Stacy's expense.
Yeah.
Can I read another one really quickly?
Sure, but we're not.
It's not a burn.
The,
it's not a burn. I know. It's just like right now we're taking pot shots at Stacy.
Yeah, that's what this is about.
Here it is.
Yeah,
I'm sure for now anyway. She headed down the hall. Good luck with you know who at lunch. That was Rachel
Snake Chul. I call her
Snake Chul. I sure did know who. I was incredibly relieved when she didn't show up in the art room again. Marianne reported. Probably smashing her Jeremy head with a hammer, Christy added.
That's going to require some context, but yeah.
Well, we will offer some context in a bit. It's a statue.
Yeah.
A bust. I groaned and slid down into my seat. She'll get over it, Marianne said. In 100 years or so, Abby chimed in. Obviously, they'd filled her in on events. I shot her a look. No, really, Abby said. She'll be fine by graduation.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks a lot, I replied. And I just love that everyone is piling on to Stacy. Yeah.
They're like, eh.
Abby,
well, really...
who's her friend.
Abby is like, LOL, you fuck things up with your best friend in the world. Well,
she's going to be pissed at you literally forever.
For at least 4 years. Best case scenario, 4 years.
I'm going to make a joke where I exaggerate the number, but then I'm going to be serious and say like, no, she's probably going to be pissed at you for quite a while.
Oh, well, sorry you fucked up your own life so bad. But Snake Chul, like, she's this interesting character where she, like, Christy is like, oh, fucking, guess what, everybody? Guess who's back? Rachel Griffin. And Marianne's like, oh, I remember her. We hated her in fifth grade. And Claudia's like, yeah, she, like, made fun of me and like, bullied me on the playground.
Right.
And but then like Stacy's like, oh, I met her and she's like actually seems nice. And she does.
She moved in across the street from Stacy.
She does seem nice, but she's constantly like undermining all of the other BSC to Stacy. And she's like, when Stacy's like, oh, is it obnoxious that I'm constantly talking about being from New York? Snake Chul is like, oh, I'm from London and I talk about it all the time. It's actually cool to like brag about like the whatever. Fucking
she's like,
big
it's
city
cool. It's not our fault. It's not even that it's cool. She's like, it's not our fault that we're more like sophisticated and like well-traveled than these fucking plebs.
Yeah. She's got this like whisper campaign against the BSC.
And also, like Stacy keeps being like, before the fight with Claudia gets too bad, Stacy keeps saying like, oh, you should get to know the BSC again. Like my friends again. Like,
yeah.
I know you guys used to have your differences, but like,
cool.
I bet you'd all get along now. And she keeps saying, like, no.
No. No, I don't need
to. Want to.
Yeah. I think she's a villain.
I think she's a villain too.
I'd love for you to describe this novel in 60 seconds. I'd love to use this big bad clock that I happen to have handy to really keep you to the time so you don't go over or under. Okay. And then we can continue to discuss this scintillating. Can I say scintillating? Novel.
I would hold on to it for a second because I do have a segment in a little bit that we're going to want to. Do you have a red iPhone?
Yeah, is that cool? Oh, shit, you got one too. What the hell? That's so cool. You picked a red one.
Two butts with red iPhones. Wow. Hell yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, I thought I was the only one. Well, guess there's two of us. Here's what I'm going to do. And the iPhone is irrelevant. It's a big bad clock that I have. I took my iPhone out to look at the time to
tap
see
into the
whether it was time
space
to get time the big bad clock
continuum. Yep. Because we're sucking it out of a special orbit and it's all segments, and this one is,
and it's a mysterious clock,
mysterious.
And it's very scary, and I can't tell you anything more about it, and in fact we've already talked too much about it, except that it is malevolent, and I can now reveal that.
And now I know, and I'm constantly trying to unlock the secret of the big mysterious clock, and now I know that you need to do something on your phone to summon it, and that's useful knowledge.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to put 60 seconds on this very mysterious and very frightening clock, and during those 60 seconds, you will describe everything that happens in this novel. Are you ready, sir?
Yeah.
He's yawning through it, but here we go. Start now.
A new boy is in town. His name is Jeremy Rudolph, and he is so dreamy, and Claudia and Stacy both have a crush on him. Claudia has the bigger crush, and she saw him first, so she gets dibs. Stacy does some machinations in order to set Claudia and Jeremy up on a date. They go on a date. It goes well, but afterwards Jeremy says to Stacy, "I like Claudia. She's a good friend, but I'm really horny for you. So I'd really actually like to go on romantic dates with you." They go, Stacy says, "Okay, let me talk to Claudia first." She hems and haws and doesn't talk to Claudia. Eventually, she does talk to Claudia. Claudia's pissed off about it. So pissed that she pisses Stacy off because Stacy doesn't have a fucking empathetic bone in her fucking body because she's a fucking horrible witch. Anyway, they get in a big fight. Stacy and Jeremy start dating. Claude tells Jeremy, Stacy, that she's that her and Ethan are together, but her and Ethan broke up, and then it's all a shit show.
And time.
It fell apart at the very end.
It fell apart
there,
at the end.
I'm
thought you
so
did
sorry.
A great job. I think you got a little hung up calling Stacy a witch, and it sidetracked you just as you were about to like take that final victory lap. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But otherwise, really excellent. I'm going to give you a B minus. I would have mentioned that Stacy and Ethan are on the outs. They do.
I forgot that until the very end because they do. The beginning of the book, Stacy and Ethan have a phone call where Ethan has signed up for like a Sunday art class every Sunday,
and Stacy's not very nice about that either.
No, Stacy's not very.
She's
nice
like,
about
"Oh,
anything,
that's the day we hang out," and he's like, "Sorry, I couldn't find another time, and my art is really important to me." And she's like, very, very fucking flustered about it. And then he's like, "Hey, maybe we should cool things down." And she takes that to mean that they're broken up forever. And she can, before he's even fucking cold in his grave, immediately steal her best friend's crush, who's like fresh blood in Stony Brook as of like last Tuesday.
This breakup happens after she has met and expressed interest.
Yeah, she's already like, she, I think, pushes the breakup.
Yeah.
She's not very understanding towards Ethan.
It's one of the reasons why she sort of acquiesces to Claudia, because, like, she's got a boyfriend, you know? Like,
yeah. I don't want to take Ethan's side in this, for what it's worth. I'm very annoyed with Stacy this week, but I don't give a shit about Ethan. Can I be on record as saying that? I do not give a fucking shit about Ethan.
Okay. I think there is a...
I mean, I'm not saying he's bad. I just don't fucking give a shit about him.
I want to say a bright future, but I don't know if it's necessarily bright because we don't like Snachel.
Snachel.
But there seemed to be a bit of a spark between Ethan and Rachel Griffin.
Oh, they briefly encounter. There's an amazing like denouement where Ethan shows up with flowers and he's wearing a suit to like say that he's sorry that he asked for a cool down, and it's like the day that Stacy is like having her first date with Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven, the like actor who's like at this point probably well into his 40s.
What's his name? Is that right? Rudolph. Did I get it wrong? It's Rudolph. Jeremy Rudolph. And that's awkward. But he meets Snake Chul shows up and she's like, oh, she like had been helping because Claudia is fucking dead. And Stacy like stabbed her in the back. And Claudia is still busy trying to like extract the dagger from her fucking back. And so Snake Chul helps Stakey. It's hard to keep track of all these weird names that Anne puts in the book.
Snake Chul and Stakey. Yeah.
Just like give them normal names, you know?
Right.
But Snake Chul or Snake Chul?
Stake Chul and
Snakey.
Snacy.
So Stake Chul is trying to help. Claudia is the one who has a stake in her back. But it's this girl, Stake Chul, who's over at Snakey's house.
Snacy.
Is it Snacy?
I don't know. I don't know if that C is hard or soft.
You know? Okay. I read it as being Snakey.
Okay.
And she shows up and she's like, oh, fuck, Ethan's here. And that's so you thought there was a spark there because she's like, fucking
well,
hell, Jeremy
like
Piven's
comes,
coming over.
Stace thinks that it's
I say
Jeremy
Snace.
Coming over to Snakes, thinks that it's Jeremy coming over to pick her up.
Yeah.
So she tells Ethan to hide. And then when it turns out to be Rachel, Ethan just comes out and he's like, I refuse to be like hidden away. And then he like
he thinks he's going to have a confrontation.
But then he's like totally like deflated. And he's like, oh.
Oh, so you're doing a ship.
I'm shipping.
You're shipping Ethan and Snake Chul and whatever her name is.
Ethan.
Yeah. Yeah, I do it too. How do you do it? What do you say? What do we do?
Ooh.
We're like, we're in a boat together.
Do kissing.
Okay.
And yeah, we do like fanfic, I think.
We have to write fanfic about it. It's so
called,
exhausting.
It's
doing
called
a
Snatchel's trip to New York.
Okay,
and she goes to New York because she misses London.
Okay, and she—it's the only. A lot of people say it's the only. It's really the only city that has kind of something like the flavor of London.
So she goes to England Town in New York.
Yeah. Okay, that's great.
In the West 50s.
Okay. Yeah, and oh,
very
and
old
Ethan
England Town
has an art class. He's teaching. Underprivileged children how to draw street urchins how to draw constable paintings.
Yes.
And do you want to be Ethan or Snake Chul?
I'll be the headmaster.
Okay.
Of the art school.
Okay, that's great.
Goliath Hardbody.
Okay. And who am I? Can I be the...
I guess you'll have to be both Rachel and Ethan.
Can I be the new teacher at the school? Like the cool, rebellious art teacher at the school, Mark Markson?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then are Ethan and Rachel in this part or not?
I don't think we need them.
Okay.
Okay. Why don't you start?
Hello?
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 Hello? Thank you. Thanks, boss, for giving me this job. I'm really looking forward to teaching these street urchins how to do constable paintings.
Yeah, no problem. I see here on the itinerary that you've put together for the class that you've already hired a local boy to teach the class for you, and I was just kind of curious, what was your plan?
Well, I learned from one of the great titans of industry. I before getting this job as a humble but inspirational art teacher, I worked in business at this a great company called Cinertech.
Oh, interesting. I was thinking about starting a company someday called Cinertech.
Okay.
I was imagining this is like a prequel.
Oh, it's a prequel. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Can I go back?
Yeah.
This is my first job.
Yes. You're fresh out of Harvard Arts, Business School.
Harvard Business School and
Harvard Art School.
Harvard Art School. Yep. And but I have aspirations to be a great business leader. And hopefully one day work at a company
if someone starts a company called CinderTech or whatever, that would be where I would go and work, I would hope.
Yes.
One thing that I've learned from the great business leaders of the past.
Oh, sorry. That's a great business name. I'm actually starting a business of my own called Hardbody Industries.
Okay. Perfect.
And maybe someday I'll acquire CinderTech.
That sounds great. And what I have learned is that you should delegate. And so as my first
okay,
act,
but I'm paying you
to delegate to and
to
what I've
teach
done is,
the class
is I've delegated.
What are you paying this boy?
He's doing it out of the goodness of his heart. He's very handsome.
It says here he has black hair and green eyes.
Yes,
such an interesting combination. It reminds me of Loki from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I imagine those movies obviously aren't out yet.
And I hope this doesn't seem like gossip, but young lady named Snakechole Griffin,
yes,
who also has a great interest in the art of London, is happens to be passing through England Town, where we have this school.
Very interesting.
I wonder if they'll get together.
I'm sort of. Am I picking up what you're laying down? Do you ship these two?
And I do.
Do you, by chance, want to do a quick role play?
Oh God,
Mark Markson.
Yeah.
As Snakechole and Ethan.
Yeah, nothing could give me more pleasure.
And
which one would you like to be?
Coming to the art school here in
England Town.
And okay. You can be you know him. I don't know him.
Okay, I'll be Ethan.
You hired him. Be Ethan. Okay.
I'm here. Well, it's talking to myself actually. It's my first day. I've been delegated this job, unpaid, teaching street urchins here in England Town how to draw constable paintings.
Pip pip cheerio. My name is Rachel. Oh, I just moved here from London Town, eh? Would you like to catch a peek of my fanny?
What vision is this?
Okay, can we leave?
Scene.
Okay, thank you. Because it's you want to leave him wanting more, a little bit more.
When you do
a ship, and when you do a ship, and that was a ship, and that was a segment where we do a ship, and it's ship of the week.
Ship of the week. Jack.
Yeah.
I downloaded this book on the iBook store, and imagine my surprise. When I was in the iBook store and noticed that it had not one, but two ratings.
Okay. Am I thinking what you're thinking?
And those two ratings were both 5 stars.
Okay.
And I think in order to build a seawall and buoy ourselves...
Okay.
Against any potential future negative ratings for the fucking Stacey apologists out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You and I have an obligation.
Yeah.
To oops all segments our way into
reviewing this novel
for the iBook store.
Okay. Great. And we've been called back, and it's one last ride, and it's like the Expendables, because Steve Jobs just called me up. Tim Cook just called me up.
Steve Jobs did too. Beyond the grave.
And I'm like, I'm an old man now. I don't fucking get in my chopper to review a book for anybody. And he's like, we need one last ride. They've kidnapped your daughter, I think.
Yeah.
Presumably.
Jason Statham is there.
Yeah.
Sly is there.
Yeah.
Arnie.
Yeah.
We
got Steven Seagal. We got Jean-Claude is there.
And then there's always kind of one young guy who they bring, like one young new hotshot, you know? Yeah. It's always like 5 old guys. Arnie, Sly.
Yeah.
And then there's always one young new hotshot.
Like the flavor of the moment. And that's you. Yeah. Okay. All right, rookie, settle up. This one's going to be a wild one. We're going to review this novel for Tim Cook one last time. I know... We're here to take it down, but I am going to give it 5 stars because I did.
No. We're here to build it up.
Love reading it. Cue up the review.
You misunderstand
music.
Me.
Yeah,
We want to give it another 5 stars. We want to get it as many 5 stars as we can so that the Stacey apologists can't come and fucking like review bomb it.
Right. Okay.
Because they're going to try to.
Okay. So I'm going to hit 5 stars. It's great.
Yes.
I'm in the iBooks, of course. I'm going to hit write a review. 5 stars, it's great. They're wanting a title from us. What should we say? Stakey, more like Stakey, more like Snakey.
Stakey, more like Snakey is great. Yeah.
Stakey,
actually.
? More like, and then I'm going to put that in quotes. Snakey.
Yep.
Okay. That's perfect.
And then down to the body, I would say, and also, while we're on the topic.
Yeah.
Rachel.
Yeah.
Griffin, more like Snakechel Griffin.
More like, I think we're off to a great start. Snake, Joel, Griffin.
And can I just add one more, kind of just so it's an ascending tricola?
Yeah.
And Ethan.
Dot,
more
dot,
like
dot.
Eth A&M Martin.
Okay. More like, that's great. I really like that. Eth A&M Martin.
The figurehead on the cover of all of these books, even though they're written by the effervescent. Sorry. Figurehead on the cover of these scintillating novels.
Of all of these scintillating novels. Even though this one was written by the effervescent.
I want to say effervescent and...
Can I say evanescent?
Capable. Reliable.
Effervescent and reliable. Suzanne Wayne. That's right. We're Wayniacs.
And then put in parentheses or brackets. Tanner's a Suzanne man.
I'm a Waniac, and Tanner is a Suzanne man. Great. Okay, now let's. So, what are we here to do? Okay, we came here. What is it? We came here not to praise famous men. What's that?
Is it like a speech Washington gave at some point?
Sounds like it. Let us not now. Let us now praise famous men. That's something.
Who said that?
James Agee.
Okay, that's a made-up person.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to say that because it sounds kind of speechy.
It does sound kind of speechy.
Here, not to praise famous men, but to censure famous traitors.
Yes, perfect. And their apologists.
That's right. We're talking about you, future reviewers of this novel, right? Let's just get to the point. You come here because we want to get a little aggressive.
We want to get a lot of aggressive.
With your defenses of Stacey. I need an ascending tricolor here, so I need two more. Your
sneering...
Sneering...
attitude. Your sneering condemnation.
Condescension.
Condescension.
Towards Claudia. Your... Vile. I want something vile. Vile disregard for the law. Don't you think?
Vile disregard for the sanctity of the Babysitter's Club?
Okay.
Because she didn't actually break any laws.
Well, but these people did. The reviewers.
By what? Because the review bomb is a review bombing against the law?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's disturbing the peace.
Okay.
I'm just going to say the law. I think it's fine. I think we're
And I would cite the actual law. I'll look up what code disturbing the peace is.
Yeah, perfect.
Law code disturbing peace. Okay, so that's... Here, I'm just going to copy and paste it to you because I literally can't read it out loud.
Okay, I'll just stick it in there.
It's well, in the state of New York, which is where Stacey's from, so it's appropriate.
Mm-hmm. It's okay, that's complicated.
New York Penal Law
Section
240.20.
Okay, I put that in there. Your vile disregard for the law. But, and then you can help me out here, but you didn't reckon
with the big dogs? What do we want to refer to ourselves?
We want to call ourselves big dogs. What eats snakes? Mongoose,
big dog.
Right?
Oh, yeah. You didn't reckon with
the mongoose boys.
Geese boys.
I'm going to say mongoose boys. That's right.
Mongoose guys? Do we want to do alliteration?
Well, that's not alliteration. Oh, because of the goose part?
Mongoose guys. Goose guys.
Mongoose men?
Well, which part feels like better alliteration? Goose or men? Or goose or mon?
I think mon. Mongoose men is good.
Is there some term that incorporates both the M and the G? Like the mongoose men guys? That's fine, actually.
Okay, mongoose men guys. That's right. We eat snakes for breakfast.
Lunch and dinner.
Lunch and dinner. And brunch, I would say. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap this up.
Maybe brunch on the weekends, you can put.
I'll put that in parentheses.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
And brunch.
And sometimes brunch on the weekends.
On the weekends, yep. Okay? Yeah. Okay, let's wrap this up. What's our big message for them? Or do we want to say something about the book? Anything.
Book was good.
Book was good. Stacy was not.
You are not.
You are not.
Do something with your lives.
That's perfect. Great. Jack Shepard and Tanner Greenring?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to do an N dash Jack Shepard and Tanner Greenring.
P.S.
P.S.
We love this one.
Can I read it back to you, please?
Yep.
Okay. Here's what we got. 5 stars. Title, Stakey? More like Snakey.
Yeah.
And also, while we're on the topic, Rachel Griffin? More like Snake Joel Griffin. And
good.
Ethan? More like Ethan M. Martin, the figurehead on the cover of all these scintillating novels, even though this one was... Hang on. Got to correct a typo there.
And that's why we do the proofread.
Yep.
And that's why we do the proofread.
The figurehead on the cover of all these scintillating novels, even though this one was written by the effervescent and reliable Suzanne Wayne. That's right. I'm a Wayniac, and Tanner is
reliable
a Suzanne man.
Reliable feels like condemning with faint praise.
Yeah.
Sturdy?
Competent?
Stalwart?
Unremarkable? Let's say sturdy.
Okay.
Even though this one was written by the effervescent and sturdy Suzanne Wayne, that's right. I'm a Wayniac, and Tanner is a Suzanne man. We came here not to praise famous men, but to censure famous traitors. That came out great.
Really good.
And their apologists. That's right. We're talking about you, future reviewers of this novel. You come here with your defenses of Stacy, your sneering condescension towards Claudia, your vile disregard for the law. New York Penal Law, Section 240.20, disturbing the peace. But you didn't reckon with the mongoose men, guys. That's right. We eat snakes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and brunch on the weekends. Book was good. Stacy was not. You are not. Do something with your lives. Jack Shepard and Tanner Greenring. P.S. We love this one.
Good.
I love it. Can I hit submit?
Feels good to be back in the saddle. Oh, hell yeah.
So
man.
Good. All right. It's in there.
All right, let's take a break.
Let's take a quick break. All right, see you on the other side. Bye. Bye. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey, everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors, who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tanner, I would like to introduce a brand new segment that is not Oops All segments. It is brand new to the Friends Forever series.
Okay.
Can I
is
do that?
Allowed?
Well,
it's Oops All segments, including all past and future
segments. Future segments, yeah. So yeah. It's all segments. It's not just past segments. Mm-hmm. This one's called Let's Complain About the Cover.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep. I'm happy to. I hate this, it.
So these are pretty bad, these covers. And you know, I don't want to dwell on that fact specifically, but I do want to spend some time talking about how much I didn't like this cover.
Well, before we get too far away from what you just said.
Yeah.
I don't want to tear down whoever made this cover. I'm sure
I don't want to tear down.
Best.
They did their job. They did it fine. It's fine. It's not what we want. It's
I
not
don't
what
like
we're
it.
Used to. Yeah.
I don't like it, and it's not what I'm used to. What I'm used to is a cover art by a beautiful watercolor cover painting by an artist called Hodges Swallow. And what I'm wondering is, what happened to Hodges?
What happened to Hodges? And what did you do with him?
What did you do to him, and what did you do with him?
Okay.
And why is he being silenced?
The cover, Quay cover, is fine. Quay, what I fucking want, it's not fine.
Right.
I don't want it. I do not want what this is. And now, can I describe it?
Yes, please.
It's got a flowery pattern. That's
Hodges, if you're out there.
Hodges.
And you're hearing this.
Get at me. You must be so upset.
Give us some kind of signal that you're okay.
Yeah. Let us know. Just say something.
Because this is it. This is the last Babysitter's Club series.
Yeah, this is your last chance to tell us if you're okay. And we'll come get you. We will come find you, Hodges.
That's what the Expendables do.
That's what the Expendables do. And we've got this young upstart that we're really excited about. Some of these old men, you know, like I'm, you know, drinking my Maalox. I'm watching my Matlock. I still got one last fight left in me.
What's his face? Glover. Danny Glover reaches out to us and he's like, I need you to get back in. We need to go save Hodges Swallow.
We got to save Hodges.
Trapped in a fucking like spike pit in the wilds of Cambodia somewhere.
Yeah. We got to get him.
Like, okay.
Saddle up, boys.
Saddle up, boys.
Okay, here's what whoever murdered Hodges, and again, I do not want to cast aspersions on the poor, hardworking designer who made this cover. But I do think I assume they murdered Hodges. And what they've done,
trap.
Or put him in a spike trap. Yeah, we wouldn't go to get his body. Why would Danny Glover call us?
He's kidnapped by militant...
Photographers. Yeah. They put him in a spike trap. And then what they did is they took a picture of a girl. Okay, so she's very close to the other girl.
Too close.
And she's yelling in her ear, but in a way that it feels like the girl who I guess is the Stacy. It feels like her hair is in the way, so she's probably not hearing it.
You think hair is...
It feels like a barrier.
It does. It looks like a barrier.
Yeah.
This, I don't like this, Stacey.
No.
And it's not an indictment of the young woman who's posing as Stacey.
Sure, she's a perfectly nice young woman.
It's just not my Stacey.
It's not my Stacey. And this isn't my Claudia either.
No, I don't even know who this is. It doesn't
this
look like Claudia,
Claudia. Okay, let's talk about this Claudia. She has got a, I think she's got one very understated earring.
If that's even. Just like it looks a, like she if has a that. Hole.
She's got a hole, but no earring. She's wearing a white beret.
It's one simple
a plain,
white beret.
Simple white beret. And she's got what looks like a American Apparel blue hoodie.
Yeah. And a number of,
and a necklace.
Chains wrapped yeah. around her neck. But that's not in Claudia. Like a cool and quirky way, in a very boring way.
That is not Claudia. That's not Claudia. We know for a fact that's not Claudia. We know what she was fucking wearing this week.
Yeah.
Don't wait. Can I say it?
Yes.
Here's what Claudia is wearing this week. Should we do the segment or what? Claudia's closet. Here's what she was wearing this week. For some reason, an odd thought flashed into my mind. I wonder what kind of impression Claudia was making on Jeremy. After all, not every girl at SMS was wearing bright yellow tights with black stripes under a short tie-dye jumper.
Excuse me?
And long-sleeved neon pink t-shirt or ankle-high vinyl boots. Jumper, I'm realizing, because a jumper in England would be from, a sweater. From Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen, Jamie Bell.
Where they jump in and out of time.
They jump in and out of, well, space-time, I guess. Okay. Time or space-time? I don't know. They can jump into locations.
Right. Okay. So that makes sense with the jumper.
Right.
Then we've got bright yellow tights with black stripes. That she started off the day she wanted to dress like a bee, I think. Right?
Okay. Well, most bees would want to dress like bees, so that makes sense to me.
Yeah. But then she did this jumper thing with Hayden, starring Hayden Christensen. And who?
Jamie Bell.
And then she's got a long-sleeved neon pink t-shirt. Wait, okay. You can have a long-sleeved t-shirt. Can you?
I don't know.
I think
what
a
do you call it when a t-shirt has long sleeves?
Shirt.
Just shirt.
Yeah.
Because right? It's no longer t-shaped.
So maybe it's like, you know what it is, what that is. It's like, you know how like in the 90s there's this fad to wear, to like see how low your shorts could be before they stop being short?
Before they start like, being like capris?
Or no, because they would be baggy.
Oh, right. Like Kevin Smith style.
And it's like, technically my ankles are uncovered, so these are indeed
these are shorts.
Shorts.
Yeah, okay, yes.
So it's that, but for a t-shirt.
Okay.
Is that a thing?
That makes sense to me. Yeah.
And that's what she's
and that's what it, she's testing those boundaries. She's like Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Yeah, but that's not what we see on the cover of this book, is it?
No, what I see is a woman in a chain necklace, a white simple beret, and an American Apparel hoodie.
And
she's
yelling
at a young woman who is not Stacy by any measure that I've heard Stacy described as. First yeah. of all, she's wearing a yellow turtleneck. Stacy yeah. only wears black. We know that. That mm-hmm. is well established in the canon of the universe, yeah. The Babysitter's Club universe.
Yeah.
She's got a ski slope nose, which is something that
Shannon Kilborn
has, but not.
Oh, so whoever
Stacey
did
has.
This cover had a random person yelling at Shannon Kilborn. They didn't even
which
read the book.
Which doesn't make any sense to me because Shannon Kilborn's not even in these fucking books.
Yeah, she's like, I'm so. Shannon Kilborn is like, I'm so happy to never have anything to do with the fucking Babysitter's Club ever again. Like, please right. write me out of these novels.
I don't know who this is. I don't like them.
Okay.
Can I read a passage?
I'd love that.
To you?
I would really like that. I would really like that. I'm going to sit back and just kind of relax into it.
I'm actually going to call in a little help in a moment.
Okay.
Not that it made a difference. I was just curious about what Jeremy thought. Actually, I was curious about him altogether. He fascinated me, and me is Stacy. Mm-hmm. Not me, Tanner.
Mm-hmm.
Me, Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't only his looks. I felt some strange, unexplainable connection to him. Where are you from? I asked. Olympia. Again, we must have seemed puzzled. It's in Washington State, he explained. At least, that's where we just moved from. But my family has lived all over.
Okay.
And do you know the...
Hall song?
The
Rancid
song.
Well, I went to school. In Olympia.
Do you know the Rancid song, Olympia?
Oh, yeah, no, there's a Rancid song. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
One moment.
Yep.
Jamie, can you come in here?
Wow, okay.
Will you... So the highlighted passage here is what we're talking about. And Jamie, Jack, will you introduce the segment?
I can't even introduce my own segment.
Yeah, this is actually a podcast.
Just remember, both of you, it's Oops All Segments. Black coat, white shoes, black and Cadillac, yeah. Cool as I am, I thought you'd know this already. I will not be afraid of women. Black coat, white shoes, black and Cadillac, yeah. Cool as I am, I thought you'd know this already. I will not be afraid of women. I will not be afraid of women.
Hello, Jamie. Welcome.
Thank you.
Would you like to introduce the show that we are? The music is already played.
Oh, is this the first time that regular babies are hearing this segment?
Yeah, it's going to be deeply, deeply confusing for 95% of our listenership.
It's also just a, it's not really a podcast within a podcast. It's an ad within a podcast for the Patreon because this segment is so good.
Yeah.
Now that I've built it up, welcome to An Outcome the Green World.
Yeah, it's a podcast where Jamie and I talk about the intersection between Dar Williams and Rancid, and we do it on our little sister little episode show, but today...
Oops All Segments.
It's Oops All Segments, and we're going to be doing it here as a very special treat for listeners to the Babysitter's Club.
Club.
You can say club with me. Yep.
I did.
And what Tanner has... So Tanner's read a passage...
Mm-hmm.
So there's a very handsome boy in this book called Jeremy Piven, and he is from Olympia, Washington.
Mm.
And what does that make you think of, Jamie?
It makes me think of a Rancid song. This is a very special episode of An Outcome the Green World because it's been a while since we've talked about Rancid.
Normally we talk about Dar Williams.
Yes.
But today we're talking about Rancid. What?
Yes.
What is your first memory of that song?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I must have been sitting in my childhood bedroom listening to the CD of An Outcome the Wolves.
Uh-huh.
And that would be where I first heard it because there had been two radio singles off that album.
Mm-hmm.
Time Bomb and Ruby Soho, and it was after Ruby Soho that I purchased the CD, so I would have heard it there.
That's so interesting.
Isn't it though?
Would you like to explain? I think we should probably explain why we do this. How did this come about? Dar Williams has an album called The Green World.
Yes. And Rancid has an album called An Outcome the Wolves. And okay. I think Karen was wearing an outfit.
Okay.
Black leggings. Can you hear? Is Tanner getting picked up at all? He's saying this from the bed behind me.
Not really. Karen's wearing an outfit that made us think of the Rancid song Time Bomb.
Well, it made Tanner think of the Bad Baby song, which made, okay, I guess, you think of the Rancid song.
Okay.
And I do not remember where Dar Williams came into this, and I don't remember why I got called to the microphone.
Okay. So what is important is that we have a show within a show on the Little Sister episodes. Where we talk about the intersection between Dar Williams and Rancid. It's Oops All Segments, so you had to come in here to talk about Rancid.
Yeah.
And because you are here, we have to...
Well, no, I'm here because the text demands it.
Right. The text demands... No, this is Anne. Anne has asked for this. But I would like to end with, we have to say something about Dar before we can leave and go back to talking about the book. So I want you to reach deep inside yourself.
Does she have any songs set in Washington?
That's a good one. Does she? So this is a novel that's about someone called Snakey. Does she have any songs about snakes?
No, the connection that I can think of is when Tanner and I were on vacation in Washington State and we drove through Olympia. It wasn't our honeymoon. It was our baby moon.
Okay, gross.
We went on vacation to... You're gross. We went on vacation to the Pacific Northwest, and at one point, I think when we were driving back to Seattle from the park, we drove through Olympia, and I made us put on the Rancid song.
Okay, so that's still Rancid.
Right, but let me build the bridge.
Okay, okay.
So that song is a song that, to me, is everything about the place. That, like, before I knew the place, I knew the song. And Dar has a song called Spring Street. About a in little Manhattan? Bit about, yeah, in Manhattan, yeah, Springs. Yeah, which Tanner is now shouting totally with no regard for the sleeping baby on the other side of this wall that you guys used to work on Spring Street. So there's the Dar Williams connection. It's a very good song.
It's place. It's an evocation of place. What a beautiful way to wrap that up. I love that, Jamie. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to see you.
Likewise.
It's nice to have you back on the show.
Always a pleasure.
And as we always like to do, sign off with your favorite Dar Williams or Rancid lyric. I'll do mine.
Okay.
The boy's a time bomb.
The babysitter's here.
Yeah, the babysitter's
okay,
here.
Perfect. That's a Dar Williams song.
Yeah.
Thank you. Is. And good night.
Good night.
Because when you live in a world, it gets into who you thought you'd be. And now I love how the world changed me. I think life chose me. After all.
I just want to clarify for the be gone. I want to clarify for Baby Nation that at one point in time when Out Come the Green World launched the podcast within a podcast on our Patreon show, it was co-hosted by Jamie Greenring and Sarah Morgan.
Briefly, yeah.
But lately it's really just Jamie Greenring and kind of a hapless co-host, Jack Shepherd.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering why Sarah Morgan maybe potentially lost interest.
I think she's historically has just put our child to bed.
Okay.
When you and I sit down to record.
Right.
And doesn't want to be called back into action to perform for the hungry masses.
That makes sense. I just feel like maybe I want to explain to Baby Nation what just happened.
Yeah.
And I want to give them... It would make them hungry.
I imagine a lot of people are fucking reeling right now.
Oh, I'm sure. A female voice on this, the Baby Baseball podcast? Unheard of.
It's a great show. You all should check it out. It's called And Out Come the Green World. And it's a podcast that... Within a podcast. And in order to check it out, you have to go subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/BSCC podcast.
It happens more often than you would imagine.
I would love to continue talking about this novel.
Mm.
I want to talk a little bit about Squeakquels.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes. Alvin and the Chipmunks.
No. Squeakquel is when... It's a technical term in the literary community and the academic community for a spiritual sequel. And the last
Squeakquel
novel, Christie's Big News?
Christie's Bad News?
Christie's Big News.
Big News.
Was a Squeakquel to Christie's Big Day, we think. Though it may also have been a Squeakquel to Christie's Great Idea and Christie's Worst Idea, though we sort of had some questions.
There are ripples.
There are ripples. And so this is actually brings me to...
You throw a stone
yeah.
in a pond.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the initial impact area is one thing. And then coming out from that initial impact area are these ripples. So it could have been Christie's big idea. It could have been Christie's big day. But then there's this under, like on the underside of the pond, which maybe a lot of you sheeple aren't thinking about.
Right. I'm sorry, and they're not.
Term of derision, but there's this upside down. And the upside down in this case, where that stone came piercing through the pond, was Christie's big news.
Right.
And it incorporates all the ripples because the ripples are on the surface of the pond.
Right.
But on the underside, it is the pond.
And it's a beautiful way of saying it.
So it resonates, doesn't it?
It resonates. And this novel resonates as well. And the thing that is interesting to me is it resonates, I think, like the spokes of a wheel.
Okay.
In multiple different directions. This novel, Claudia versus Stacy, is in some ways a natural squeakquel to Stacy versus the BSC.
Right.
Because it's verses.
Obviously, yep.
I think if you're going to bring in verses, it also has to be a natural squeakquel to Marianne versus Logan, the classic versus book.
Well,
in Marianne versus Logan, Marianne is fighting with Logan. In Claudia versus Stacy, Stacy is fighting with Ethan.
I don't want to blow our load on Marianne versus Logan quite yet. Because
no,
because
that's likely to be next week. Yeah.
We have a
but you have that versus there, right?
Marianne, Logan break up on the horizon.
There is a resonance. I think this is also in some ways a squeakquel. And I'm sorry to keep using that term, but it's a very technical
term.
What
other term would you use?
Yeah, there's no other word that describes a novel that has a particular resonance to another novel in the series. Claudia and the New Girl.
Yes.
Claudia and the New Girl with Ashley Wyeth.
Yes.
Has strong vibes, because that's an analog to, what's her name, Snakechul?
Snakechul Griffin, yeah.
There's something there.
There is something there, and these are all ripples coming off the initial impact.
And then finally, may I say one more? May I say one more?
You have another one?
Stacy's ex-best friend.
Yes, Claudia.
Number 51. Now it's Claudia, then it was Lane. Stacy is repeating herself. She has a best friend and she pushes her away. She has a best friend and she pushes her away. The first ex-best friend was Lane. The next ex-best friend was the greatest betrayal of all.
Wow.
Claudia. And what this hints to me...
It's like a symphony.
It's a symphony. It hints two things to me. Here's what I think. Let me just fucking lay it out.
Okay.
The first time we had a serious squeakquel was Chrissy's great idea and Chrissy's worst idea. That introduced the concept of the darkest timeline. I believe that the multiple squeakquels inevitable... What's happening? What are you doing? What are you doing? You're waving your fingers at me.
The boy...
I'm explaining
today.
Something very complicated.
The boy earlier today came in here while I was working.
Yeah.
And he brought me a gift.
Okay.
And it was a toy of his that he cherishes.
Okay.
And it's this beautiful ring.
Okay. And it's a princess. It's one of the princesses from Pixar.
It's Anna.
From Frozen.
And he brought it to me and he left it on the desk for me. And I just found it and I've been fiddling with it and playing with it. And I just thought maybe you'd like to...
Okay.
Oh,
great.
Did you notice it? Oh, I was just gesturing as
I was
speaking.
Just, oh, I
but
see.
Did you notice
you
it?
You weren't speaking. You were waving your hand in front of me while I was trying to explain something unbelievably complicated.
Oh, did you notice it?
Yeah.
It's a gift from my boy.
Just as the resonance between Christie's great idea and Christie's worst idea introduced us to the darkest timeline, in these novels where time is coming unraveled, the amber has started to melt, the girls are being... introduce into the forever.
Yes.
And each novel has resonance with not one book, but many books. Maybe as many as four. Like spokes of a wheel.
Like ripples on a pond.
These novels introduce us into the infinite timeline.
Mm.
And we are now in the infinite timeline. In the Friends Forever series. And further, I would suggest to you that just as the darkest timeline introduced to us a new reading order that we had to... take into account for reading these novels, the Hatchet Order. These novels require
a new order,
a new way, a fourth dimensional way of looking at it. And may I humbly suggest the Glaive Reading Order.
The Glaive Reading Order. And where are we getting the...
Krull.
Okay, yep.
And I was just thinking, I'll just put you in mind of my thinking, what's cooler
Sean
than a hatchet?
Connery.
It's not Sean Connery. It's like almost no one famous. It's a 1980 Six.
Sean Connery is absolutely in Krull.
No, he's not.
What's he in? He's in something dumb like Krull.
But so the glaive. No, that I love that your instinct is to like not figure out who was in Krull, but figure out what other thing Sean Connery was in.
The most famous. Okay, I will say two things. The most famous aspect of Krull is the glaive.
Yeah. And so the glaive, if you haven't seen Krull, is this like, it's the one thing that's cooler than a hatchet. It's like this like five-pointed star weapon. And just like this book, right, Tanner? It's one book, and then there are four other books that it squeakles out to, just like a glaive.
Right, right, yeah.
I just feel like you're not impressed enough by what I'm saying, because you're looking up what Sean Connery was in.
I need to find the Sean Connery movie that
that's so unhelpful.
Krull?
It's so unhelpful.
Zardoz.
That's nothing.
Did
that's
you see Zardoz?
No. That's
it's
nothing.
It's a lot like Krull.
Okay, but it's nothing for us.
No, I know.
It does nothing for us.
I'm as frustrated as you are.
No, you're not.
I am. I am. I swear to you, I am. I'm as angry as you are. I'm as upset about this as you are. Okay, so it's the glaive order.
That's what I think. I think that what I think, and I'll just for new listeners, you've been reading the books wrong. You've been reading the books wrong, and even for old listeners who have been reading the books in the hatchet order, which is the hatchet order is you read books 1 to 31 the way you would read them, right? When yep. Anne and Martin finished them,
Anne's original canon.
I can't even remember how you do the hatchet order.
It's confusing, but we have a whole episode about it. Go back and listen to it.
Yeah. So for old listeners who have been reading the books in the hatchet order, we're sorry to say you've been reading it wrong.
Yes.
The only way to make sense of these books is to read it in the glaive order. And the way to read it in the glaive order is you find the five tines of the glaive.
I should
explain. The first tine is the novel that you're reading. The next four are the four squeakquels in the Friends Forever
series. I should explain what a glaive is.
Yeah, in Krull.
So a glaive is kind of like a big throwing star.
Yeah.
It's got
a magical weapon
point, and then there are like spines coming off.
It's only that in Krull.
You will need more than men and swords. You will need the power of the glaive.
The glaive is nothing but an ancient symbol. It doesn't really exist.
It exists up there in a cave on the highest peak. Without the glaive, you'll never be able to reach Lissa.
I need weapons, not symbols.
Once a glaive was a very powerful weapon. It can be so again. But only in the hands of the right man.
Yes.
In medieval lore, it's just a big... It's like a machete.
Yeah. So, the glaive order is... There's two sides to the glaive.
There's five sides to the glaive.
No, there's 5 points to the glaive.
5 points to the glaive.
There's
two sides
to the glaive.
Yeah.
The first side is the... Ur text.
Right.
The second side is the Friends Forever text. And the points coming off of the glaive are
the squeakles.
The ripples. Yes.
Right. The squeakles. And so as an example, and I don't want to make this complicated for people, and apologies.
It's not yet.
Reading along in the hatchet order. What I need everyone to do, and when we do the next podcast, we'll do Babysitter's Club in the glaive order.
Yeah.
You read, you start
with...
Well,
we'll do it in the hatch order first, and then we'll do the glaive order.
Yeah. You start with the Friends Forever series, and this is what Anne wants. You start with the first Friends Forever book. Then you read the four glaive books the four squeakles, right? So in this case, Claudia and the New Girl, Marianne versus Logan, Stacey versus the BSC.
I would say 4 to 6.
Stacey's ex-best friend. Yeah.
It's a moving target.
It's a moving target. And then you read through the series that way, and the math should work out that by the time you get to the last Friends Forever book, you will have read every book in the main canon plus Friends Forever. And I'm sorry if that's complicated, but do you agree that that's right?
I think you miss one thing, which is that there is always one text from the main series that is sort of the closest inversion of the Friends Forever, and that's the other side of the glaive.
That's the other side.
So you read the Friends Forever, you read the original text.
So in this case, we would need to find something where Claudia and Stacy are very close. Is that what you mean? That would be an inversion of this book.
I think the other side of the glaive on this one is probably Stacy versus the BSC. It is the closest mirror. It's the closest thing to this text.
Okay.
And then the others are all radiating off of that.
Okay. All right. So I hope that makes a lot of sense.
It makes a ton of sense to me, at least. Yeah. Jack.
Yeah.
I just have one more question for you this evening.
Yeah.
And it's this.
Mm-hmm.
What is your...
Well, Tanner, there were a lot of them this week, but we don't have a lot of time. So I'm going to choose my absolute favorite burn, which is on Stacy. Can I read a burn on Stacy?
Yes, please.
Okay, Christy said. Oh, and it's a Babysitter's Club meeting. Isn't that nice? They didn't disband the Babysitter's Club after all. Let the bodies...
Even though they literally just fucking said, like, a week ago, like, yeah. We're all done with the Babysitter's Club. It's like, psych. No, we're not.
Yeah. Let the bodies rise up from the floor and go back about their business. And sorry that we sang that. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know the famous song, Let the Bodies Rise Up from the Floor and Go About Their Business?
Yeah. Because the Babysitter's Club is back. Except it seems like it might be over. Anyway. Okay, Chrissy said, here's some club business I'd like to discuss. Since there are only four of us now, I think we have to coordinate our weekend activities. We can't all be unavailable on the weekends at the same time, or our clients will stop calling entirely. But what can we do? Marianne asked. Logan's already annoyed that I'm not always available on weekends. Since we're down to four members, it's been really hard. Maybe we should assign free time slots, Chrissy suggested. We could rotate them from week to week and... Stacy can't do that, Claudia cut in. She'll be needing all her free time since she's stealing everyone's boyfriends. That's funny.
It is good.
Because she's stealing everyone's boyfriends and she stole Jeremy Piven from her.
She did steal Jeremy Piven from her from PCU.
Yeah.
Can I read mine?
Yeah.
I had the one that I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
About Abby saying that Claudia would be pissed until graduation. Here's the other one I talked about a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
That I teased for you.
Okay.
I thought it might be a peep book if it had been this level of sharp wit throughout the book.
Yeah.
Stacy is on a date with
Jeremy Piven.
And they just walk around Stony Brook and they go to fucking Bel Air's for some reason. Because that's like a fucking date to Stacy, I guess.
Yeah.
In the kitchenware department, Jeremy told me about taking a home and careers course in his old middle school. I made bread with baking soda instead of flour. It was so gross.
Breath
he laughed. In. Jesus.
Sorry. I don't want to step on your burn, but Jeremy Piven is maybe more than meets the eye there, Transformers.
But it's failed bread.
Yeah, exactly. He made failed bread. He's rotten.
Failed bread.
He made failed bread. What does that mean? The whole thing is coming unraveled. Right? We're in the infinite timeline now.
He made it with baking soda instead of flour. It's failed bread.
Yeah.
Jesus. I made bread with baking soda instead of flour. It was so gross, he laughed. Mom watched me do it, too. She knows less about cooking than I do. What does she make for dinner? Stacy asked. Reservations, mostly.
That's funny.
Burn is on Mrs. Piven.
Yeah, because she can't make fucking
Jeremy's
dinner.
Jeremy's mom, because she can't make dinner.
Yeah. That's
and he can't make bread, which is troubling, and I didn't even...
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm more troubled by, to be honest.
Yeah.
That she can't make dinner.
Yeah.
That he can't make bread, that is, he's making failed bread, or that I didn't notice.
Yeah, and this is all Suzanne's fault.
Suzanne.
Did it, didn't she? She's... doing misdirection. She's trying to keep your eyes off the most important stuff. It's so like her.
So like her.
Because it's exactly what you do. She knows that the foremost, and if I may say so, the foremost bread theory expert in the entire world is you, Tanner Greenring.
Me.
What's the only way that I could distract this hound dog from the scent?
Burn.
If I put a burn in the bread segment.
Yep.
And Jesus. Lucky I caught it.
So devious.
Yeah.
So fucking devious.
So devious. Wow.
Okay. Well, I'm done here.
Yeah, I'm done here. We got to go. We gotta get.
I have been thoroughly put off balance now, yeah. And I don't. I'm done. I have to go.
You gotta go. Okay.
I gotta go to bed.
I'd like to thank the Baby Nation for bearing with us. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, specifically and especially for bearing with me.
You're welcome.
We don't need to advertise our Patreon. We've done all that we can.
We should advertise the merch.
The merch is at bit.ly/BSEC merch. We've got. A lot of stuff of kind of fan art of Pennywise the Clown eating various of the babysitter's charges. It doesn't make any sense. It's an unfortunate misunderstanding that Tanner
not
had
yet.
On, but we really do need to unload it.
Yeah. We paid a lot of money.
Yeah. We're really in the hole on this one. So please do check out our merch. Join the Baby Nation Facebook group. It's at Babysitters Club Facebook page, and then find the group. It's where all the fun happens, and everyone is nice there, and everyone is having a good time. And please check it out and join the group. Everyone's doing Zoom calls, hanging out. They're doing wine crimes meetups. It's a very fun place to be, and you're missing out if you're not there. All that remains is for me to say that this week we read a novel that was called Babysitters Club Friends Forever #2, Stacy versus Claudia. And next week, we're going to be reading a novel called Babysitter's Club Friends Forever #3, Marianne's Big Breakup.
Mm.
I wonder who that's going to be with.
The BSC?
Probably.
Who Maybe knows Stacey? God, it would be nice if it was Stacey.
Falling apart.
Well, it makes sense if it would be Stacey, right? Because Stacey's like kind of on the outs with the BSC now.
Maybe it's Tigger.
That would suck.
I mean, Anne's just really putting the screws in, you know?
Yeah, maybe it's Mr. Spear.
This week, Baby Nation, I have been Jack Alexander Shepherd.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
Your wife, Jamie, has been on the show and was on the show today, and her name has been this week Jamie Elise?
Greenring. Yes.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator and demand your right to bear time, and do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaney's. Remember the trip, man. Take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented. Bye, Jamie.
That was a weird one.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.